Are you looking for new books to read? Do you like finding a new special author? Are you tired of the same old books from the same old authors? Well then, welcome to Discovered Wordsmiths, a podcast where you can hear from fantastic new authors. Join Stephen Schneider as he finds and talks to authors you may not know, but authors that have worked hard to write great new books. Hear about their book and why you should check it out. So sit back and listen to today's Discovered Wordsmith.
All right. Well, Catherine, welcome to the Discovered Wordsmith podcast. How are you doing today?
Fine. And you?
Good. Pretty good. We've actually, this is the second time we've talked on a podcast. You were on my other one with Alan Baltus, our Relentless Geekery. This time, we're going to talk kind of the same subject, a lot of more detail about your book. But before we get going on that, tell us a little bit about who you are, where you're from, what you like to do outside of writing.
Well, I've lived in Northeast Ohio all my life, formerly an instructor of college English. Oh, I have so many interests. I just cannot fit them all in. In the past, I was an officer in the Ashtabula County Humane Society and a PETA member. I'm also a member of the Dracula Society, the Horror Writers Association, the Daughters of the American Revolution, Mensa, and I am a big Dark Shadows fan.
Yes, and we talked about that before, too.
And besides all that, I like to bicycle 10 or 20 miles a day, walk another 10. And I'm a bookworm. I cannot live without reading, especially history, literature, the Belle Letters, world travel, vintage Barbie collecting. I'm a Twin Peaks peaky. I don't know. My interests just go on and on.
Before we started the podcast, we were talking about music because we've both had music lessons and kind of yearning for getting back into playing some music. Just neither of us seem to have any time.
I'm a former disco queen who
nice
relives that era whenever she has the opportunity.
That's pretty awesome. I know a lot of authors seem to also play music. It seems to go hand in hand quite often. Why did you want to start writing? You said you were an English teacher for a while. Was that kind of what made you start to want to write? Or was there some other reason you wanted to start writing?
I am primarily a reader. I studied English. I was working on my PhD when I changed careers. Because I love to read. Through high school and college and graduate school, I was reading, soaking up learning like a sponge, and I still do. I wrote as needed for classes to learn things or to present what I had learned through papers and exams. After graduate school, for quite a while, I was busy doing other things in my life, and I missed reading, and I reinserted that into my life, and it's got a large part of it. And then one day I put to write on my calendar because I had a lot of experiences to tell about, and I started writing first about Salem, and then about Dark Shadows, and then it just kind of waterfalled after that.
So tell us about your book, what it's about, and some of the other fun things. I know a little bit about it already, but tell everyone else.
Creepy Cat's macabre travels, crawling around haunted towers, crumbling castles, and ghoulish graveyards, is a travel memoir about my travels around the world to places with macabre associations, like Salem, Massachusetts, Transylvania, Stonehenge, the underground cities of China, style of 19th century travel writers.
You've been to all these places. Did you intend to write a book about all your travels, or was it an afterthought? It's like, hey, I've been to all these cool places. I should write something about them.
A little of both. The travel is for pleasure, but I took notes and put them away thinking that someday I might do something with them. And I have, and now it's become quite a job, become a working travel job now, which is really good. A lot of stories to share. And now as I travel, I think of the people I'm going to tell my stories to as I travel. And it just added another dimension to my travels, which is very enjoyable.
And you've basically focused on the horror aspect. You've been to locations mentioned in books or locations used for filming. things like that, correct?
Yes, literature, film, and history, macabre stories. I've been to other places, but keep a unified theme for the book, I only put those.
Okay, that makes sense. What has been your favorite trip or favorite location to discover and go to?
Transylvania, I think. Romania is such a different country. It's very exotic while still being European. It's on the edge of East and West. I love Dracula, but country is a whole different commodity, very Byzantine. I enjoyed that on an everyday basis. Niagara Falls is wonderful. It's like going from black and white Kansas to Technicolor Oz across the border there.
Why did you visit Niagara Falls?
I go there 2 or 3 times a year.
Was it a spooky location or just a regular vacation?
No, just a regular destination. It's the George Bernard Shaw Theater Festival's there, and great place at Niagara on the Lake, about 10 miles out of the falls. It's just a wonderful place to be.
Well, you said one of your favorites is Dark Shadows, and you did visit the mansion that they filmed at. What's it like to read or watch a show and then be standing in the location that they talk about or show?
It's amazing. It's like entering into the show. The host of the Dark Shadows parties has a really fun theme for Dark Shadows virgins. Their first night there, he has them come outside the edge of the property with their back to the mansion. It's dark outside. There are cameras rolling, and he plays the Dark Shadows theme and speaks the Dark Shadows opening words. And then the virgins turn around and look at this mansion lit up in the dark, all the lights on and all the windows. And it's hard not to feel like you just entered the world of Dark Shadows.
You look around the corner for Barnabas.
Right.
Do you have any future plans for like a follow-up book or more travels that you want to go to and include in a book?
Yes, I'm working on that now. I have about a quarter of another book written. I have to go more places. I'm working on England in the spring to track down the Arthurian site. And the other half of that trip will be Chillercon, the English half of the Horror Writers Association. Nice. At their convention.
And is this book traditional or did you self-publish it?
Traditional.
Who's your publisher?
WordCrafts Press.
WordCrafts Press. Okay. And you've enjoyed working with them, I assume?
Yes. It's a really great publishing company.
Do you think it made it easier working with them doing this book rather than doing it self-published?
I never tried self-published, but I think he did a lot for me that I really appreciate. But the thing that's lacking is marketing, which is pretty much me.
Okay, and we're going to talk about that in our more author-focused segment. So what feedback have you been getting from readers?
One publisher said, your work was found to be entertaining, insightful, and thought-provoking walking history with a wide-ranging scope and an engaging manner of dialogue, an ambitious work with accessible writing. And somebody else told me my work is important. They appreciate my ability to synthesize and integrate wide knowledge into an accessible and readable form. Somebody else told me this is the best travel narrative I have read in a long time. This narrative of the author's visits to creepy places from the mansions used for the TV series Dark Shadows to the Bellwitch Cave in Tennessee to Sleepy Hollow in New York makes you feel you're actually walking through these places. The detail is exquisite. The book is well written. Book captures the emotions of the locations described in a way that sends chills down the reader's spine. These are the kinds of things I'm hearing.
Nice. That's good. Is it available, I assume, on Amazon, but anywhere else?
Barnes & Noble.
And you already said you're working on your next book. Have you thought of writing a fiction book? You've written this travel memoir, and you're obviously into horror. Have you thought of going from nonfiction over to fiction?
I have written a lot of short stories. I have one coming out in S.T. Joshi's Penumbra No. 2 a Dracula short story called Markovia this month. I have another short story called Lenore coming out in the Mensa Bulletin, the winner of the fiction issue competition in October.
Nice.
And thank you. And I have four more short stories accepted for publication in journals and anthologies next year.
Great. And I,
thank you. And I am trying to put them together into one anthology of Creepy Cat. That's I'm a short story writer.
Yeah, that's great.
Thank you. I have a poem coming out in the a sonnet called To Necrophilia. Yeah, I know, coming out in the Horror Writers Association Poetry Showcase Volume 8 this fall.
Well, maybe at some point one of the libraries will erect a statue for you, and then other people will make pilgrimage travels to visit your statue.
Well, that's probably all going to occur after I'm dead, though. That's usually...
Yeah, yeah. Because I remember a picture you sent me. You were by Lovecraft's statue, and another, I think, by the Raven from Poe,
mm-hmm.
which is... I thought that was pretty cool. Mm-hmm.
I think you take a trip to Philadelphia and see the actual Raven at the Philadelphia Free Library. The Raven used to be Dickens' pet, and then he was also Poe's inspiration.
Oh, yeah.
Now he's stuffed in the museum, so you can visit him.
That's pretty cool. And Philadelphia is not that far away from us, in relatively. Do you have any favorite books and authors that you like to read?
I'm very 19th century. I like pretty much everything before the 20th century, and then there's some select things in the 20th. Jane Austen, George Eliot, Bram Stoker, of course, be all and end all. Tom Wolfe. I also have an article about Bram Stoker coming out next year in Dracula. Tom Wolfe's my favorite 20th century writer. And then I love Thomas Hardy, the Brontes. And their books are so good, I enjoy rereading them. I try to plow through a couple hundred pages a day in all kinds of reading, history, literature, my hobbies.
And I think I mentioned to you before, I was supposed to go to a conference, and Dacre Stoker, the great grandnephew of Bram, was going to be at this conference. And unfortunately, he had to cancel because of his wife's health. So I was very disappointed in that. I was hoping to meet him and talk to him.
Yes, he's a great speaker, and he has done so much research into the history of Bram Stoker and the history of Dracula. He's just a fountain of knowledge, and it is amazing to be close to a blood descendant of Bram. And that's, again, you just feel like he's almost...
Yes, and he's not just trying to do this to gain a quick buck off of an ancient relative. He really has put some time and effort and is offering up very unique items. He has recreated through some company first editions of Dracula. Obviously it was created in today's world, but they tried to use the same paper. They tried to age it. They tried to make the cover the same way to get it as authentic of a first edition as you could get back then, which I think is pretty spectacular. Along with, he's offered things, papers and other things from his great granduncle, and just trying to keep the legacy alive, but improve it and get more people thinking about it, and looking at it, which some of those writers back in the day are such inspirations. Mary Shelley with Frankenstein, and even H.G. Wells and Jules Verne, some of those are complete inspirations for the horror we have today.
Oh, they're amazing. People become classic writers because they have profound things to say that affect humanity from beginning to the end. These are people who touch what we're made of. And Dracula is just full of amazing truths. He touches the core of what it is to be human. And all the imitation Dracula stories, some of which are very entertaining, they just don't have that power. It's the second most read book in the world, next to the Bible, for a reason. Every country you go in the world, anybody who's literate knows the name Dracula.
Yeah.
And there's no other character in the entire world that the whole world knows.
It's a great
book.
the great thing about that book is it is really a love story that just happens to be set with vampire, a vampire. What a lot of, I believe, stories get wrong is they write a vampire book and then they try and make it into a story. There's the lesson, I guess. Dracula, if you've never read it, it is definitely not what you would expect in the 21st century. If you're looking for a horror and you like vampires, or even just, you know, horror itself, Dracula is not what you would think. Obviously, Anne Rice had inspiration from Dracula, but this is a love story that's written in a horror fashion.
Yes. Title of my article coming out next year is Dracula, Bram Stoker's Love Letter to the Human Race. It's about us in the face of evil.
Oh, nice.
That's what the book is about.
And I think I've got some links from you for some various articles and some upcoming talks, which I'll include in the show notes. So anyone listening that would like to, in the area, that would like to go hear you or read some of your articles, we'll have links to those.
All right, I have my new website, www.creepycatlair.com.
Yes, and you were working on that last time. So congratulations. I'm glad.
Thank you.
So you have traveled all over, and I usually ask authors if they have a favorite local bookstore to where they live. But do you have a favorite bookstore that is very horror-themed?
No, actually, there aren't any close to me. I go to Barnes & Noble usually. There are two locations at the malls nearby. But when I go to Salem, Massachusetts, there are several 19th century kind of bookstores that I like. They carry a lot of Jane Austen, Nathaniel Hawthorne, goth and horror stuff. So Salem is a really good place to go for horror. There aren't any small bookstores in my neck of the woods.
Are there any anywhere that you've been that are very, I've been to a lot of the ones in Salem. I was just there last month and visited a lot of the Salem places that we've talked about. But are there any good horror bookstores that you can think of anywhere?
No.
Okay.
I would go shopping there if I knew.
Right. I would have to say, if somebody lives in Bangor, Maine, and doesn't have a good horror and Stephen King themed bookstore, they're probably missing an opportunity there.
Right. I might be going there in October. I'm not sure of my travel destination yet. I have multiple itineraries planned for fall, but I'm going someplace where they don't require masks. So it has to be tentative, this place or that. But one of the places I might be going is Bangor.
Oh, I'd love to hear if they have a good horror bookstore. I've been to Bangor. I've been to other areas in Maine, but I was not looking for a bookstore at the time. Catherine, before we talk about some other stuff, tell everybody listening why they should get your book.
Because it is full of ultra cool travel destinations. From Pennsylvania to China to Transylvania to Tennessee. Both the stories of my travels, for example, traveling through Louisville during Black Lives Matter rioting and the pandemic, and the stories of the macabre events associated in those locations. My stories are associated with literature such as Dracula, films such as The Night of the Living Dead, and history such as the Salem Witch Trials and Vlad the Impaler. So it's multi-layered, my story, those stories, and the stories of the people who live in those places now.
All right. Well, I appreciate you taking some time and telling us about your book, Catherine.
Thank you for listening to Discovered Wordsmiths. Come back next week and listen to another author discuss the road they've traveled, and maybe, sometime in the near future, it might be you.